today as we come to the table.
Never stop being a servant, because that's what a true minister is. They're those who serve others. And Paul now is going to go into this portion here of Scripture where he says, I want to remind you of the example that I was to you while I was there. And note this, while Paul is reminding them of the example that he was and all that he did for them as a servant, Paul's not boasting. Paul's not bragging. Paul's not saying, yeah, look how great I am. I did this. I moved chairs. I set up tables. I stayed up late. I did all these things. I swept the floors. Yes, he did all that. But Paul's not saying it so they'll know what a great servant he is. Paul is saying, this is what servanthood looks like.
Once you give your life to Christ and commit to following God, you're called to much more than just salvation. You're called to serve. Serve fellow believers in the church. Serve your family and friends around you. And serve with the joy of the Lord. It's your relationship with God bearing fruit in your life. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table. The Daily Bible Study Program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. It's important to always ask God what He wants you to do next for ministry. Today, Pastor Mark will encourage you to never stop growing in your relationship with God and to never stop serving Him with whatever you have. God wants to move through the lives of those who are faithful to do His will. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Acts, chapter 20, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
If you have your Bibles, let's open them up to Acts chapter 20 as we look at verses 17 through 24 today, an example and warning for ministry. Now, I love this portion of Scripture. You know, every portion of Scripture has a purpose and a reason that God gives for it. Sometimes we do a Bible study and we see great things and God speaks to us and we learn, you know, whatever the case might be of that day. And then there are certain portions of Scripture that are very detailed in their instruction for a certain purpose. And that is what today is about. This is a very detailed instruction about what it is to do ministry. And the reason so, I don't think that Paul necessarily thought about this saying, hey, this is going to be specifically for how to do ministry for generations after this. I don't think Paul even knew this would be studied today or that this was going to be a part of God's word. As Luke was traveling with Paul, he was writing all this down, and Paul probably didn't even know for sure until later what Luke had written down and all that went into that. But this particular portion of Scripture is a great portion about what true ministry is. And learning how to do true ministry. You know, we've been talking about equipping the saints and all the different things we're doing here for you guys here at Calvary Chapel in order to equip you for ministry. That is exactly what today is all about. And that is exactly what was in Paul's heart when he was about to minister to the leaders, you might even say the pastors there of Ephesus. You see, here's what's happening. Paul now is in the middle of his third missionary journey. He's traveling from Macedonia in Greece, remember, heading back to Jerusalem to get there by the day of Pentecost. And Paul would always try to be back for the feast and the special celebrations in Jerusalem if he could. This one he was able to make it back. But Paul realized that if he stopped and went up to see the church in Ephesus, it would slow him down so much, he may not make it for the day of Pentecost. And so what Paul does is he travels today to a town called Miletus that is on the coast. He sends a messenger up to Ephesus, which is about 30 miles inland. He gets the leaders of the house churches there to come back down to the coast, 60-mile round trip, and he's going to do basically a mini pastor's conference. Now, again, remember how the church was set up in that day. It wasn't long after this that the church began to get buildings and large gatherings like we have today. But much of the churches, when they first were planted in regions, they were home churches. And they had multiple leaders, and they were really pastors of each of those home churches. And so Paul had been raising them up. Paul had spent 3 years in Ephesus pouring into them. And now Paul realizes this will probably be the last time I'm ever going to see these guys. I want to meet with them one last time because God was warning him what was lying ahead and all the persecution. And so he said, I want to meet with them one last time. I want to lay everything out that I've done, what they've seen, remind them of what they've been taught, and just prepare them the best I can for ministry with the time that I have left. And imagine if you felt you had one last message with a group of people that you were trying to train up and teach and send off into the world to do ministry, what would you talk about? That's where Paul is. And so that's what makes this so rich, because Paul is going to truly lay at his heart, led by the Holy Spirit, and really give what, not just for pastors what they need, but for anyone that's involved in ministry. And so what is ministry? Again, a little definition here of ministry. First of all, it means to serve or to be a servant. So one of the first traits, if you're called into ministry, is you will desire to be a servant. Now, we're all called to be servants when we give our life to the Lord. But for those that are called to be leaders in ministry, there's going to be this natural servanthood that God puts in your heart. It's just who you are. It's just what you do. It's what you want to do. You love to do it. And so if you're wondering, have I been called into leadership in ministry? One of the first honest questions you need to ask yourself is, am I naturally wanting to serve? Do I desire to serve? And again, even if you don't naturally want to serve, when you're filled with the Spirit and you give your life to the Lord, there'll be a desire for servanthood that begins to move in, and you're going to become a servant. It's something you simply do. Again, I remember when God called us into the ministry, we weren't thinking about anything other than God had called us to go and teach the Word of God, and we knew from what we'd already experienced that comes with servanthood. It's a part of who you are when you're called into that. And so, again, I think that's a good litmus test to say, all right, where am I in my heart? You know, a lot of people today that called into ministry or say they're called into ministry, they do it because they want to be served. They want people to serve them. That's not ministry. Ministry is you serve others. I remember when Tracy and I planted the church from 27 years ago, I mean, we did everything. You know, you had to set up, tear down, do the worship, do the teaching. She would watch the kids in the apartment that were there. So you did everything, and that was part of it. It just goes with the territory. But then as the church grew, then you get more people to help, and you begin to designate other things out that needs to be done, like that's happening today. But here's the bottom line. You never stop being a servant. There should never be a day when I quit being a servant. There should never be a time that I can't grab a table and put it up or stack chairs and put them away or whatever the case might be. It's funny, oftentimes when we're doing chair pickup or moving tables or doing stuff, people will run up and say, here, let me get that, Pastor. I'm like, you don't realize you're not letting, no, I appreciate the heart. It's very sweet. But it's like, you know, I think some people, their hearts are in the right place, but it's good to let the pastor and others continue to serve because that's what they're called to do. And so, again, don't ever be afraid to be a servant. And a pastor or leader, if you're called into ministry, should never stop being a servant. Because that's what a true minister is. They're those who serve others. And Paul now is going to go into this portion here of Scripture where he says, I want to remind you of the example that I was to you while I was there. And note this, while Paul is reminding them of the example that he was and all that he did for them as a servant, Paul's not boasting. Paul's not bragging. Paul's not saying, yeah, look how great I am. I did this. I moved chairs. I set up tables. I stayed up late. I did all these things. I swept the floors. Yes, he did all that. But Paul's not saying it so they'll know what a great servant he is. Paul is saying, this is what servanthood looks like. This is what ministry looks like. You know, I heard many years ago when I first got involved in the Calvary Chapel movement and not even maybe knowing at that time if I was called to ministry. I don't know if that was before or after I heard this, but it's held up to be so true. And that is this, ministry is something that you catch. It's more caught than taught. And what I mean by that is you learn to watch other people. You watch them do ministry. How do you do it? What am I supposed to do? I mean, again, I think that's so important to be a leader in showing other people how to do that. I remember when I first gave my life to the Lord. I mean, I grew up in small towns in Tennessee, and you know, you moved a lot. My dad was a Methodist pastor, so we moved around a lot. We lived a little bit in Virginia, but mostly in Tennessee, and all these little small, every town I was in was pretty much a small town growing up. And when you're in those small towns, you don't get a lot of education about what life is like beyond that. And I'd never been around diplomats or been around other people that important things. And suddenly you get called into ministry and suddenly I'm being asked to go and pray for some event where some important people might be there or go to some place where an important person, you know, in the world's eyes is going to be there. And I realize I have no idea what I'm doing. You know, maybe you guys, you know, I knew that already, but it became blatantly clear. I have no idea, and I still say that today. I have no idea what I'm doing. We're all growing at different levels in different places. And I'm telling you, if you feel like you have no idea what you're doing and you don't know what to do, if you will just follow God's lead and step out and begin to do what God has called you to do, even if you don't know yet, just start serving, God will teach you. And everybody has insecurities. Everybody has fears. Even the people you look to and go, wow, they've got insecurities and they've got fears. Your pastor does. Everyone has them. We have to step out in faith and do ministry anyway and trust God. And I remember being around some of these, you know, I got to go over 20 some years to the pastor's conferences while Chuck was still alive. And I'm not lifting up Chuck, just saying he was such a great example. He was kind of like a Paul for our day. And the ministry fruit proves that out. But I would watch everything that he did. I would watch how he stood, how he talked to people. It's amazing. You know, when you're not, again, I started out being in front of people since I was little because I would, you know, sing and this kind of thing. And then I got a guitar and I could play and sing, but I almost always had something to do with my hands. And I realized, and Chris, you're saying, well, you're doing it now. But I realized when you meet with people, I realized suddenly my hands became so evident. Like I didn't have my guitar and I would just be singing. What do I do with my hands? I don't know what to do with them. And everything about me started becoming so evident. What am I supposed to do? And I literally would watch, how are they standing? What are they doing with their hands as they sit up front at an important funeral and everybody's there? What do you do with your hands? I mean, that may sound silly to you, but I'm telling you, I had zero education in this kind of stuff. Everything I had to learn was on-the-job training. And again, that's why it's a pleasure to be able to train up other guys to be ready for this kind of stuff. But there's nothing wrong in not knowing what to do. The key is you still got to step out and trust God to take care of that. And just watch others that go before you. Look at them. Watch how they stand, how they sit, how they present themselves, what they do when they meet a congressman or a senator or at the White House. You know, I would have no idea what I'm doing. It would probably be very evident. But at the same time, if you watch others, start noticing those things. What am I supposed to do? Paul is saying to them, I lived that way in front of you guys at Ephesus for 3 years. I showed you how to act. I showed you how to interact. We know that Paul had relationships with the high ups in Ephesus. We see that last time. He knew the leadership. He knew people high up in Rome and all this. So Paul had learned these things because he was raised in an education like that. And God was able to use Paul in that to teach others. And so now we have the advantage of learning from Paul and other people we can watch in how to do that as well. And so we take up now with Paul here, getting here to Miletus. And he's going to call for the leaders. Again, look at verse 17 of chapter 20. It says, from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. We would say he called the pastors. Basically, it's a mini pastors conference. I want to gather all you guys in. We're going to talk about some main topics here, and that is, how to live as a pastor or a leader by example, and then what you do with the people. And so he begins to go down this list of things. Again, not in boasting, but in sharing honestly things they can learn. And look what he says in verse 18. It says, and when they had come to him, he said to them, you know that from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you. Now, just note this. The very first thing that Paul says is, from the first moment I arrived, not from the day I got there until the 3 years later I left, I lived as an example in front of you. And what a great encouragement for those wanting to be involved in ministry, those wanting to serve the Lord. And that is, look, nobody expects us to be perfect. Nobody expects you to be perfect, but it's simply living as an example in servanthood. That's the first point he makes. I came and I began to serve. That is the basis for ministry. Now, what we do here at Calvary Chapel is, if you're going to be a teacher in the kids' ministry or work in the youth group or things like that, we make you wait 6 months just so that we get acclimated. You get to know us, we get to know you, and plus it shows whether or not this is really your home church. Are you going to stay? Is this where you belong? And so it gives time to kind of get acclimated both ways. So that's a great thing to do. But it doesn't mean that day one you can't be here with an attitude of servanthood. And that is whenever you see something that needs to be done. Let's say God moves you to another state. And you go to a new church, you know, don't just wait around to move that table. Don't just wait around to grab that chair. If you see the church or other guys serving, jump in and begin to do it, especially if you think God has put leadership in your heart or ministry in your heart, because it should be something that you're not doing to be seen, but it's just who you are. And you're making yourself available saying, God, I want to be a servant. I want to do this. Paul says, I always did that. You guys know it. And Paul didn't show up at Ephesus and say, now I'm really going to go and look like a servant, so they're really going to believe me. It's just who he was. But now he's reminding them who he was. You guys know, from day one, I was there serving you. Look, I was always living among you, serving the Lord, verse 19, with all humility, with many tears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught it to you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, Paul writes some of the longest sentences on the planet. But Paul says a lot of stuff here, and I want to break it down. He says all these things that are happening. The first thing, as we noted, he said, from the first day I got there, I was a good example. I was there to live for the Lord. And Paul says in another writing later on, he says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And that is, we should live in such a way that people can imitate us. Now, when you're a baby Christian, I understand that. We don't know what to do. Like, I didn't know what to do, and sometimes still don't. But what we can do is what we do know to do. And we can be a good example in what we do know to do. That's the first thing Paul says that he does. Again, not with perfection, but simply with being led by the Spirit and with all of our heart. But secondly, notice here in this kind of list of ministry things that Paul's going to lay out for us today, if you're a note taker, secondly, he says he served with all humility. Note that. He was humble. Now, what is true humility? We've noted this before. I want to remind you. Humility is not trying to look humble or pretend that you're somehow weaker than you are. Humility is simply understanding who we really are in relation to God. God is almighty, God is holy, God is righteous, God is pure, and we are fallen man and fallen woman. That's all we are. We are fallen beings. And so if we understand that, we realize, all right, just be who you are in your fallen state. Don't try to be somebody you're not. Don't try to pretend you're somebody you're not. But just recognize, I am a sinner before God, but God has forgiven me and allows me to be used anyway. And so he says, we need to have all humility. And again, when you think about what the Bible says about our best works, you ready? Our best works, the Bible says, are like filthy rags before God. Think about that. That's our peak. That's the best. And if that's our peak, what is there to be proud about? You know, well, my dirty works are not quite as dirty as yours. I take pride in that. You're still filthy, Mark. What are you proud about? Paul says, I just came and I just lived among you. Now, if anybody could have been prideful, it would have been Paul the Apostle. This is a man who not only had the best education that the world could offer, which many in the world get prideful just about that alone, but then he spent 3 years out in the wilderness, the Bible tells us, personally meeting with Jesus Christ. This was after the Lord resurrected. So how did the Lord appear? Probably came in the form of a human, probably showed up. And we see in other times in the Old Testament, he came as a man. But either way, he came and literally met with Paul for 3 years, personally training him in the desert. How many of us can put that on our resume? And so if there's anybody that had a right to be proud, it would be Paul. But Paul says, no, I realize I'm no better than any of you guys. I'm here to serve alongside you. We're working together. He says, you saw that. You saw that I didn't take some special position, you know, and get the special parking lot for my camel or whatever. You saw that I made sure that I worked among you as a servant and just did everything that everybody else was doing because I wanted you to know that I'm here to be a servant of the Lord and I wanted to be an example to you. And I love this example that Paul is as he serves with all humility. That is, he was not too important to just be one of the guys and serving with everyone else. Again, I'm not saying there isn't a certain standard that a pastor or leader is to have. We're to live righteously, but at the same time, we're not better than anybody. We're just as we need the grace of God as much as anybody else, and every leader does. And when we recognize that, that's when we begin to be just living in humility one with another. And it's a beautiful thing. But notice he says, I gave you that example, but notice also he says, there were many tears and trials from the Jews in the midst of this while I was there where they plotted against him. So remember, the Jews were always chasing Paul down, trying to get Paul because they hated him. He wasn't sticking with Judaism. Plus, he was preaching Jesus, who they didn't agree with. And so they were stuck in their religion. Paul was stuck in the gospel. And those two don't get along well. And so they were chasing Paul down, trying to capture him and just do whatever they could to him to damage him. And he says the entire time, even though this happened, he continued on. Why does he bring that up? He brings it up to say, I didn't stop. I didn't quit. I didn't just give up because everybody was attacking me. And here's another thing that we've got to understand when we step into ministry. There are going to be attacks. There will be spiritual attacks. There's going to be physical attacks. Now, it may not be physical and such as, you know, harming you or punching, that kind of thing. But you're going to have people that are going to come against you in opposition in the physical realm and in the spiritual realm. And when that happens, we have to recognize, okay, this is going to happen. And then when it does happen, we have to soldier on. That's the bottom line. We have to say, all right, God, you're going to have to give me power. And I want you to know something. Any attack that comes against you in the ministry, if you depend on the power of the Holy Spirit, God will give you the ability to soldier on right through the middle of it. Now, I want to say this, and I always try to be as honest as I can with you guys and what's appropriate as far as ministry and passing things on. The majority of the time, I would say almost, you know, by far the majority of the time when I'm here teaching, I'm in a great mood and I love it. I love to teach the Word of God. I get excited about the Word of God. But you need to know this, there are times that I'm also a human. And there are some Sundays or Saturday nights or Wednesdays that I am really maybe bummed out about something. Maybe there's something heavy. Maybe it's a spiritual attack. It's something going on in another part of life. But the bottom line is that as a leader and someone that's working with others, you have to simply soldier on and do it anyway. And you have to be careful about your attitude. I'm not saying be fake. Don't pretend everything's great when it's not. You need to be honest, and you can have people pray for you and, hey, this is a hard time. But the point is that as a leader, you need to always make sure that you're building people up and encouraging them and not tearing them down, because that bad time will pass. And our job as leaders is to be encouraging the body of Christ into higher things. There have been times I've not felt like smiling when I'm teaching, and God has said, no, you go out there and you be a good representative of me. And so this is something we have to realize, that being a soldier, sometimes you're bloodied up. Sometimes you take some shrapnel. You're in a foxhole, whatever the case might be. And you know what the same thing is? You can't look around at the rest of the troops and say, well, we might as well all give up. It's a bad day. Say, no, we soldier on. Be encouraged. This too will pass. God's going to be faithful. And God, by his grace, is going to give you the strength to do that if you simply trust him. And that's what Paul was saying. Look, I had tears. I had trials. I had those that wanted to do me in, but I continued on, and God gave me the grace to do it. That's the key. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. And notice the next thing Paul says. He says, not only did he continue on, look at verse 20. He says, I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you. Now, we think about that. Well, of course, he said everything that was helpful. But being a pastor now of over 30 years and being here as long as we've been here, I realize sometimes you say things that are helpful that are not fun and easy to say. In other words, helpful is not always just the nice thing somebody wants to hear. Helpful is not always just the easy thing. Sometimes helpful things are hard things that are said in love. The Bible says the wounds of a friend are faithful. Think about that for a moment. You mean your friend walks up to you and wounds you, and you think that's faithful? Again, I don't like to get too much imagery in my mind, but I think about seeing people set somebody's bone when a joint's gone out. I've already done it there, haven't I? I've already got the mind thinking that way. But you see, that's a helpful thing. It's a painful thing. It hurts, but you were just a friend to that person because their body needed to be reset in that area. The surgeon needed to cut someone in a certain place in order to be able to fix the thing that needed to be fixed or needed to be removed, and it's painful. And if you don't understand what's going on, you might even get mad. Now, you wouldn't have a doctor or a friend setting a bone. But think about it in the body of Christ. What if somebody comes to you in love and says, I need to talk to you. There's something going on that we've got to deal with. And you know, and they begin to encourage you in something that maybe you need to repent in. And you're thinking, hey, that's none of your business. Leave me alone, or don't judge me, brother, or whatever. When they're coming in love, Paul is saying, look, I came and I said the good things and I said the easy things, the hard things, the, you know, easy and hard things. He said, maybe it wasn't always what you wanted to hear, but I didn't withhold anything that was helpful because I love you and I want to see you thrive. And sometimes if you love people, you have to say hard things. It's not always received that way. But understand, if you're going to go into ministry, you're going to be called to do that. You're going to have those uncomfortable meetings. You're going to have those uncomfortable moments. And you need to pray for grace. And you need to pray for tact. But if you love them, you're going to do what's best for them so they can be restored. And the Bible says if you rebuke a righteous man, he will love you.
You've just heard Pastor Mark Kirk teaching from the book of Acts here on Come to the Table. Acts is a powerful account of how the gospel spread from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth through the work of the apostles and the power of the Holy Spirit. It reminds us that God equips ordinary people to do extraordinary things when they step out in faith. Just as the early church faced challenges and opposition, we too can trust that God is in control and will guide us through every season. If you want to experience this kind of faith and boldness, it starts with trusting in Jesus. If you have questions about what that means, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 865-609-1385. Once again, that's 865-609-1385. In addition, you can let us know by using our questions or comments link found on our website, thewaymedia.net. While you're there, stay a while. Familiarize yourself with our ministry and what we're about. Come to the Table is a ministry based out of Calvary, Knoxville. If you find yourself traveling through, staying in, or residing in Knoxville, Tennessee, we hope you'll come check us out at Calvary Knoxville. Consider that an invitation from us to you. We'd love to have you join our community. Service times can be found at thewaymedia.net. Just scroll down and find the link to Calvary Knoxville. Well, that's all the time we have for you today, but we want to say thank you for listening. Pastor Mark has more valuable insights from the book of Acts. So join us again on the next edition of Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.